This is Skyline Chili Cincy 360, about Cincinnati, from Cincinnati. Sponsored in part by Skyline Chili. Stop by Skyline Chili for a three-way or cheese coney today. Feeling good? It's Skyline time. This is ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station. Here are James Rapine and Mo Egger.
Well, sort of. I'm James Rapine. Mo Egger not here. Mo has the day off. You know who's in for Mo? Tony Pike. Turn your mic on there, Tony. Tony Pike in today. How you doing?
This guy has a lot of days off.
He has a lot of days off. He's the opposite of Bill Belichick with the no days off thing.
He is.
He's the opposite of NFL coaches.
You think he's at home watching like 14 hours of film?
I think he's listening to us right now.
Today?
I think he's listening to us.
Hello, Mo.
On edge. He's been waiting all morning, listening to ESPN 1530. He didn't even know you were here. This is the best kept secret. I didn't tell anyone. I was just like, hey, Tony, you want to come in and join me?
I just randomly show up sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to host one last show with you.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, that just pulls at the heartstrings.
Sentimental moment. Yep. Look at this.
It's pulling at the heartstrings.
Me and the quarterback that I used to cheer on back in when I was a freshman at UC when you made that Sugar Bowl run.
Yeah, I wanted to come in one last time before I go to Vegas.
I thought every season was like that.
Yeah.
You're going to Vegas.
I am. UC, UNLV.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one.
Why wouldn't you travel with the
Bearcats? Rolled yesterday.
Yep.
Yep, we'll talk about that coming up in Quick Hits. We've got some college football coming up in about 20 minutes or so. But first, let's start with the Bengals. There's a lot to talk about when you're talking about the Bengals. We've talked about Marvin Lewis's future a lot this week. Let's talk about A.J. Green's future. By the way, he said that he's going to practice today, that he's going to play this week. So that is good news for the Bengals, I think. Let's start there. A.J. Green, in his future with this franchise, I want to ask you about that. But first, him playing this week, I think he was close last week. Yeah. Is this a good decision by the Bengals to put their best player out there, knowing they're 5-6 and their back is up against the wall?
Yeah, I mean, you got Jeff Driscoll starting. You don't have Andy Dalton out there. You still have injuries to this team, and it's still a huge uphill long shot battle to even get this wild card spot. And for me, it was never a question on A.J. Green's side if he wants to play or if he's going to try to play, because that's the player he's been throughout his whole career at the Bengals. I mean, he's a guy that if he can be out there, he's out there and he's helping the team. I would have taken a different approach if I was the Bengals and said, look, we're either going to limit your snaps or we're going to give you a couple more weeks to rest. More so because you need to figure out on this Bengals roster who are receivers you can trust going forward. You know A.J. Green's a number one receiver. You know Tyler Boyd is a very strong number two. You got to figure out where number three and four lay, and you could have had a couple weeks to give them meaningful reps and meaningful snaps, a la John Ross, giving on Tate more opportunities. If you're going to go with Cody Core more, you have a chance to get all those guys.
No, you're not going with Cody Core anymore.
He's had his. But you give all these guys a chance. And, you know, there's so many ways to angle this of if the Bengals make a move and if they implode this roster, you know, is A.J. Green a piece that you want to bring back or is he a piece that you try to get another first-round pick for? And there's so many things that could happen in these 5 weeks that could deter that or send that in the wrong direction. I just think it's a risk for the Bengals to have A.J. Green out there the next 5 weeks.
That's the poll question of the day. It's up at ESPN 1530 on Twitter at ESPN 1530 and at James Erpine. Should A.J. Green ask the Bengals to trade him this offseason? I would, by the way. I'm sick of it now, and I'm leaving in like 3 days. All right, so I don't blame him if he made that decision. Right now, 43% of you say yes, he should want out. 35% say yes if they keep Marvin. I didn't have enough room to add Hugh Jackson to that part, but yes. I assume that falls into it. And 22% say no, he should stay. I get why he's returning to the field. They're still mathematically in it.
Yeah.
They probably feel like, okay, if I come back, in one of the quotes I read from his media session, and we don't have the audio, but he basically said, as long as Jeff gets it near me, I'll catch it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got an ego. He knows he's really good, and he should be. He thinks they're still probably going to make a run here.
If you're Jeff Driscoll, you are thanking every lucky star and wish that you could make that A.J. Green is playing, because he's the ultimate safety valve. He's the ultimate safety net. He's a guy that you can throw the ball up to, and no matter what, he's going to go make a play on it.
So A.J. Green returns.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming back. He wants to play, even though it feels like the Bengals might go 5-11, 6-10, 7-9. 7-9 might be good at this point. Either way, A.J. returning, let's say they go 7-9. Let's say they go 6-10. Like, I think you and I both agree it feels like that's what's going to happen now. Should he ask for a trade?
See, I'm in the majority that says yes. I mean, A.J. Green has been nothing but a consummate professional for this organization. He's played injured. He's played through pain. He's carried this team at different times of his career. And I just think at this point, he is at the top of his career. It's not like he's still climbing. The good years that he has left, or the elite years, I should say, are diminishing. Mm-hmm. Maybe three, four years.
And he's had some injuries.
I just think if you're A.J. Green, you stand back and you look and you say, we've done it this long with Andy Dalton. Things haven't gotten much better. They've lost a down-the-field throw this year. Mm-hmm. He's playing more slot, which means he's taking more hits here. You look at the organization, they've stuck with Marvin Lewis for so long. A.J. Green voiced all his displeasures last year when he exploded after the Jacksonville game, where you can see things were kind of teetering a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the Bengals went out and they made moves. They made Bill Lazor the offensive coordinator. They brought a new defensive coordinator in. They tried to make moves in free agency and in the draft, and none of those things have worked. And if you're A.J. Green now, you're staring down the barrel of a rebuilding team for all intents and purposes, and a team that's at the bottom of the AFC,
yeah,
and the bottom of their division. Do you want to spend the last elite years of your career for a team that's rebuilding? Do you want to go somewhere and try to win a championship? And I think for what A.J. Green has done for Cincinnati, for the Bengals organization, he deserved to go and try to win a title before his career takes that step down.
I think A.J. Green has been a good soldier.
Absolutely.
All of the missed throws. I think back to 2012, the Bengals were down maybe 4 or 5 points in the playoff game against Houston, and Andy Dalton overthrew A.J. Green in the end zone with like 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The whole narrative of the Bengals changes if that throw's made.
Correct.
It does. They probably win that game, and we're talking about who knows what happens, and who knows what the narrative is. But there's so many things like that. He didn't freak out then. He didn't lose his mind when he wasn't targeted in the first half of that game.
Mm-hmm.
He's been the definition of a good soldier. This past year, he was interviewed by Bleacher Report, and I remember he did an interview with the Enquirer as well, and he was very upfront. I want to be a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
I work to be the greatest. And I think it will be interesting to see when he takes a step back, 2 weeks, 3 weeks removed from this year, assuming the Bengals don't rebound and make the playoffs, which, again, that's looking pretty bleak right now. Vegas ranked them, by the way, 30th out of 32 teams.
Yeah.
But assuming that doesn't happen, I think he'll reflect and look and say, all right, I want to be great. I want to be a Hall of Famer. Can I do that and win here?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, I could see it forcing his hand. He's not this guy. He's not T.O. where he's going to go out and demand a trade or complain. But I could see him politely saying, hey, I have 1 year left on my deal. You're kind of rebuilding now. Go get something for me. And if I'm the Bengals, I would entertain that.
Well, you look at, you know, what do the Bengals do after this season? Do they look at drafting a quarterback?
They should.
Because if they do. Well, if they do, that turns to A.J. Green now and say, now you're a elite receiver at the top of his game and you're dragging along a rookie quarterback to try to get ready. That's a whole nother rebuild process.
You're talking another 2 years before you could seriously contend.
Correct. You're looking at, If I'm A.J. Green, I look at what Randy Moss did at the latter part of his career and the year he had at New England.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm A.J. Green, look, the frustration has to be that we've done this show for years now, and we come in and we say, when Andy Dalton missed A.J. Green on a couple deep balls. Andy Dalton, you know, is not pushing the ball down the field. Andy Dalton missed A.J. over the middle. At some point, the dam has to break, and things have to come crumbling down. I think if they do it at the end of the year like that, and you get something out of A.J. Green, and you let the guy go play for an elite quarterback in this league, he deserves that. He deserves to play for one of the top 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks in the NFL and see what he can do for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
See if he can go win a Super Bowl or be in the league MVP race on a guy that's going to get touches every game and they're going to push. I mean, can you imagine if Aaron Rodgers had a weapon like A.J. Green? And I know that's drastic. Or Drew Brees or Tom Brady.
Pat Mahomes. Jared Goff.
Can you imagine
offense.
What those guys can do? You look at what they're doing with the receivers they have. Drew Brees threw 4 touchdowns to 4 undrafted guys last week.
Yep.
Tell me he can have A.J. Green and Michael Thomas. Or you can have Aaron Rodgers throwing down. I mean, A.J. Green deserves to go out of his career, whenever that may be, with a chance to compete for a championship. Not on a rebuilding team that's trying to hold on to going 7-9 or 8-8 each year. You want him to go play and have a chance to cement his legacy and to cement his career. Like you said, he wants to be a Hall of Famer. Go get a championship, and you're going to write your ticket.
He's Tony Pike. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. Mike Brown's the owner of the Bengals.
Oh.
He's not going to just
right?
The obvious news. He's not going to just give up A.J. Green because A.J. deserves it, though.
Correct.
So let's flip this conversation. If you're the Bengals and you go 6-10, 7-9, something in that range, would it make sense to trade number 18? Would it make sense to? Because I think New England, Green Bay, you mentioned New Orleans. A lot of these teams would be willing to part with probably a first-round pick. They'll be drafting later in the draft. Amari Cooper fetched a first.
Correct.
You might be able to get a first and a third for A.J. Green. Yeah. You might be able to get a lot for him. If that's the case, does it make sense for the Bengals to say, all right, we get it, Andy can't really win without A.J., but if we can still fetch this for him, first and a second or first and a third, might make sense.
Absolutely, and I think you have to, and I think you look at the Amari Cooper trade should set a precedent and say, okay, Amari Cooper was traded for a first-round draft pick in the NFL. There would be teams lining up to have a chance to get a veteran receiver that's proven in this league that still has elite years left to come in and help their team. It might be a team that's one or two players off,
mm-hmm.
or a team that's looking for that last piece that's willing to say, look, we're going all in to try to make a championship run in the next 2 years. The Bengals aren't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, we know the Bengals aren't going to go in this offseason and make a bunch of moves and say, okay, now we're all of a sudden a contender. I mean, the Colts, look at the Colts with Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a couple pieces away with the offensive line.
I'd give up a first for AJ if I'm Indy. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's why with how we started the show, with AJ playing these next five games, best case scenario, he comes out and he plays AJ Green football and things go well. Worst case scenario,
mm-hmm.
there's another injury or there's another flare-up that hurts that trade, you know, probability, or it hurts what you could get back in return for a guy like A.J. Green. So I think if you're the Bengals, you have to weigh all those things, because this isn't shaping up to be what seems like a normal offseason here.
It's not.
It seems like there's going to be a move at head coach.
It does
it
feel that way.
It seems like there's going to be moves among this roster, and guys' heads are going to be on the line. And if that's the case, why would you throw your best trade value and your best piece out there and run the risk of something happening? Again, you know A.J. Green wants to play. You know he's always going to say, yes, I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone from the organization would have to say, here's why you're not. And it could be, you're our guy next year, we're going to build this team around you, or, you know, we might look to see what we can get for you, and we don't want to diminish any trade value and your value to another team.
Are you ready for, it's not even a hot take, but hot speculation.
Ooh.
You ready for this?
Lukewarm speculation.
If I was the Bengals GM, and I'm just looking at the landscape. Obviously, quarterback is something you want to look at. And in this quarterback class, probably going to have to pick first overall to get the guy you want.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco right now has the first pick, if the draft was today, just
yep.
based on standings. They have the first pick. They don't need a quarterback. They have Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
You know what they need?
A receiver.
A.J. Green.
Yep.
So a package involving A.J. Green mm-hmm. and maybe a first or second round pick, probably your first, for the first overall pick
right.
and another pick,
right?
That would make sense.
Which,
that would be the aggressive move. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Which could be Herbert from Oregon.
It could be Haskins
from Ohio State, who has a lot of really good qualities.
Yeah.
And again, that's the thing.
That's the aggressive move.
That's the aggressive. But with this draft class, that's what it would have to be. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not a quarterback-heavy class.
There's no Lamar Jackson falling right. to 32.
Correct.
It's not happening.
This is a class you're going to have to be at the top if you want to get your quarterback. Now, 2 years from now, it's going to be a little bit more elite quarterback class coming out. But if you're the Bengals, I don't know if you can wait 2 years.
Yeah. I think they will, knowing
right.
them.
Well, you know.
As far as first round, you
right.
know, upside quarterbacks.
And again, worst case scenario for this Bengals team is, you know, you go late in the year and you pick up a win, and then you go to Pittsburgh when Pittsburgh's not playing for anything, and you get a win there, and Mike Brown says, well, Jeff Driskel's the guy.
I don't think he'd do that.
I don't know.
Jeff Driskel's the guy.
If they go 2-3 or 3-2 down the stretch,
oh,
I don't know.
I don't know. Hey, could Jeff Driskel be the guy?
I think a lot will be told this week, because people make a lot out of the Cleveland game. Cleveland was playing prevent defense that whole second half. That's not a situation where you're being challenged. Now
the Boyd throw
is a throw that we haven't seen Andy Dalton make
mm-mm.
in years here. The throw, you know, he's shown the ability to hit John Ross down the field. We saw that a couple games ago. I think Jeff Driskel is a solid number two quarterback in this league, but now you're in a whole different animal. You're the guy.
Mm-hmm.
The game plan is around you. You're having a situation where you look across from you, got Von Miller coming off that edge this week against questionable tackles.
Cedric Abuehi.
And questionable tackle
play. His former teammate.
Correct. This is going to be a test for Jeff Driskel, because you're looking at a Denver team trending in the other direction.
Yeah.
Denver still thinks they can make a run. They're coming off a big win against Pittsburgh.
They can.
They're sitting at 5-6. They can make a run in the wild card. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee, like we've talked about the last 2 weeks, they will be the hungrier, more desperate team.
It feels that way.
Because we saw Baltimore more desperate. Mm-hmm. We saw Cleveland more desperate.
Yep.
Denver's coming in here thinking they still have a chance to make a run, and it seems like the Bengals are just trying to not unravel it.
And that will tell me a lot, the first 5 minutes of the game. How hungry do the Bengals
look? Right, and you'll be able to tell a lot from Jeff Driskel in the course of a game like that.
Yeah, speaking of Jeff Driskel, he met with the media about an hour ago. Here's Jeff at the podium at Paul Brown Stadium.
I mean, it's a great opportunity to go out and get a start this week, and not thinking about anything besides this week right now. And that's everybody's mindset. And we got a good plan together so far. Looking forward to getting out there on the practice field and putting the plan to work and ironing things out through the week. But we're just looking forward to this week and just doing everything we can to get a win this week.
You played baseball in high school. Obviously, baseball was kind of a big part of your life back then. You got drafted. You chose football, but was there ever a moment in this kind of like winding NFL journey that you looked back and thought, I wish I would have gone the other way?
No, I mean, I've gotten that question multiple times, and my answer is always, I'm a football player. That's just who I am. It's in my DNA, and, I love football, and I love, playing the quarterback position. There's nothing like it, so no, I've never had any, times I've looked back and wanted it to go the other way.
I think when you were in college, you said maybe after my football career is over, I'll revisit that. That was a couple of years ago. Would that still be the case if you do play for a while in the NFL?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, plan on being around a long time.
That's Jeff Driskel earlier today at Paul Brown Stadium. Here's what I like about Jeff Driskel. The physical attributes are there. He ran like a 4.5 40.
He's like the second fastest
behind Lamar.
Can you imagine?
Lamar should be a Bengal, but I don't want to do a whole topic on that. But
could you imagine?
Jeff Driskel.
And again, I don't think we get this creative. Jeff Driskel, Joe Mixon, and Giovanni Bernard all lined up in the backfield.
Yes. Like Driskel, with Ross running deep to spread the field.
Driskel in the shotgun, you could run a little bit of a read option where you send Mixon across Driskel. He can either give it out or take it on more of an option look. Or they can just both go out in pass patterns. I don't know. Again, we've preached this all year. I don't know why those two can't be on the field at the same time. But if you want to help a young quarterback, you give him easy throws. Mm-hmm. And you give him guys that can make plays. That would be running backs on linebackers.
You know what would be insane, though, is they get creative now.
Right.
Season basically done.
Yep.
You know, your starting quarterback's out, and now all of a sudden you unveil this bag of tricks.
Right.
Where was that 3 weeks ago?
Right.
Where was that after the bye? Yeah. Where was that against Cleveland?
Yep. And I'm interested to see how they game plan for Jeff Driskel. Because you saw what they did for Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
They got him into some type of rhythm. Baker Mayfield certainly got into a rhythm. You do that with easy throws early in the game. If you're Denver, you're coming in and you're going to challenge the Bengal receivers. And you're probably going to double-team A.J. Green. But you're going to make Jeff Driskel fit into small windows. That's why I would use Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard. Let them go out in pass patterns against linebackers and let Jeff Driskel throw 5 to 7 yard short passes early in the game to get a good feel of that game. Worst case scenario is the first pass he attempts is a 3rd and 10, backed up where he's got to make a play on a 3-step drop where Von Miller's pinning his ears back. Because that just snowballs. You got to be able to get a quarterback, especially without a lot of experience, in rhythm early. And what better way to do that with two running backs that can be a matchup nightmare for linebackers and can both catch the ball and make plays?
If you're Denver, do you put 8 people within 6 or 7 yards of the line of scrimmage and make Jeff Driskel throw downfield?
Absolutely. And now with A.J. Green back, I probably send 2 his way. So I probably load up the box with 7 guys, and I play man on Boyd, and I play man on John Ross, and double-team help to A.J. Green. But I'm going to make – again, it's what the Bengals should have done with Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Put 7 or 8 in the box. If he throws for 350, tip your cap and say, well, that's a great game.
Yep.
The guy can throw. Or you make an adjustment at halftime. But I don't see Denver coming out and dropping 7 into coverage and letting Jeff Driskel sit back there and make plays with his feet if he needs to.
He's Tony Pike. I'm James Erpine. This is Cincy 360. Up next, some breaking Bearcat football news. A little award time. We'll talk college football next on Cincy 360.
Now, Cincy 360 resumes. Brought to you by Safe Auto. Give us 3 minutes, save up to 25% on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station.
This is the Skyline Chili Cincy 360 show. Despite what Mo said on yesterday's show, there is a James special. The James special is two Cholitos in a three-way. If your Skyline server doesn't know that, well, help me educate them. Tony Pike, let's turn your mic on. And what do you get at Skyline? What's
Skyline
your go-to?
Sounds really
it
good.
It does.
Right,
maybe
now
we should go after the show.
I'm more of a three-way. Usually okay. Go light spaghetti with a couple chili cheese sandwiches.
No hot dog. All right. Interesting.
But Skyline, God, it sounds really good.
It does. Maybe you can go pick some. I have the 3 o'clock show today.
Oh, wow.
So maybe you could, after the show, go pick it up and bring it back for
me?
Yeah,
that's
asking
a lot.
That's
asking a lot.
I have a lot of prep. By the way, on Twitter right now, there is a picture of Tony Pike.
Prepping.
Did you see that? It looks like you're doing homework. It looks like you're back at your Reading days when you were on honor roll. Were you on honor roll?
Yeah, absolutely.
I could totally see you. First honors.
Second.
All league academic.
All CHL.
That's
academic.
Right. Speaking of league awards, Luke Fickell has been named the 2018 American Football Coach of the Year. Well deserved after 10-2.
Absolutely. Well deserved. What he's done with this program. Basically a year ahead of schedule. Everyone talks about rebuilding this and that. The team that won they went 4-8 back-to-back seasons.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people said 6-6 this year is a great season.
Including us.
Again, 10-2. A game at Temple that could have went either way. And a tough loss against Central Florida, who's, 24, 25-0 in the last 25. Yep. And those are your two losses. You can't say enough about what he's done, the recruiting he's done, how he's got these players to buy in, and the aggressive style at which he coaches. You want to talk about an aggressive coach, there's no question on fourth down inside the 30 what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going for it, and they're going to run it, and they're going to assert their will. And you love that as a coach, and you just love the energy from the coaching staff and Luke Fickell and his staff and the players. Again, this is second, third youngest team in college football.
Sitting at
10-2.
Yep.
There's a lot down the wire here in the future for this program.
Luke Fickell replacing Marvin Lewis with that aggressive mindset. What do
Love
you think?
It.
You know what I think is really interesting, though? We didn't really know going into this year what Luke Fickell was.
Yep.
You know, 4-8, but you give him a pass, obviously, because he's building a program. It takes time. You had no clue. I would have lost any bet you wanted to make with me that this team would have went 10-2.
Absolutely.
You talk about a redshirt freshman quarterback.
17-point favorite to open the season in the Rose Bowl.
Underdog.
And they come in, 17-point underdog, and you come out and get a win. And, again, it's how they've done it. Everyone questioned, how are you going to score? Well, they put their faith in the offensive line and Michael Warren at running back, who, by the way, got snubbed for first-team all-offense. I don't know how he didn't get first-team American offensive awards. And then you look at, the receiving core is going to be a question.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the receiving core, Khalil Lewis, senior day, 200-plus yards, 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense has been fast, athletic, aggressive, tackling in space. And they're all young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing what this team can be and the ceiling that they have over the next couple of years.
And the biggest thing I was shocked about when Luke Fickell came here is how quickly the local perception of the program changed.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like overnight, really.
Yep.
He was still at Ohio State as their defensive coordinator prepping for the college football playoff while UC head coach, and it felt like the perception changed. And I think a lot of that has to do, and obviously you're aware of this, about what he's done locally from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah.
And what excites me about 10-2 is now we know what Luke Fickell is. Now we know what that program can do. And you know you can get double-digit wins, and you can play in huge games on the road against UCF with college game day. That can only help recruiting.
Yeah.
It's going to do wonders.
The crazy part is he's recruited this well coming off 4-8 seasons.
Yeah. It's
crazy. How do you think they're going to recruit coming off 10-2?
Yep.
Saying, look, this is what you can be. You look at next year, UCLA comes here. They go on the road to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State, if they, Haskins gone.
Urban
Meyer up in the air. You got a very, which will be a veteran team coming back and going up to the horseshoe. That's going to be an interesting game and a big moment for Luke Fickell in this program. Because if you ever want to have a chance in college football anymore as a non-Power 5, to make a run at the playoff, you have to schedule big-time games, and they have that on the schedule. They have opportunities coming up. And again, it's goes without mentioning, I just saw as well, Desmond Ridder was named Rookie of the Year, which is obviously well-deserved for he's done as a freshman. He's going to continue to grow. But all their main pieces are back next year, and they have more top recruits coming in. It's going to be fun to watch as these next couple seasons expand.
He's Tony Pike. I'm James Rapine. This is Cincy 360. What bowl are you hoping for the Bearcats to get in, and who do you want to be their opponent? I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyway.
I was hoping that things could fall into place in the Liberty Bowl, and something would happen in the Big 12 and they would have to take us, and then they could somehow coerce Kentucky into going. I thought Kentucky, UC at the Liberty Bowl.
We're waiting for the Big 12 to deliver.
Right.
That's what that means.
Right. But again, if you wanted to, it's so hard if you're not a New Year's Bowl or a playoff anymore to sell bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
You want to sell a bowl game.
There's so many.
Right. You want to sell a bowl game, match up UC and Kentucky, both who travel well,
mm-hmm.
both who've traveled well to the Liberty Bowl, and face off, which I think would be a good game. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they end up in the Military Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, based off what UCF does this weekend, if they can hold on and win and win the American Conference title. But I see that team playing in the Military Bowl, which is a December 31st bowl game.
You think they beat Memphis?
I still think they do. I think the emotion will carry over. But, look, if you're UC, you're playing on New Year's Eve. The Military Bowl has vastly improved over the last couple of years, and you're going to have the opportunity to play an ACC Power 5 school opponent and show what you can do. So I think it's the Military Bowl, and I think it'd be a great opportunity because you're not playing a – and no offense to this program, you're not playing a Louisiana Tech
mm-hmm.
or an Appalachian State. You have a chance to go play a Power 5 bowl-eligible team and show what you can do.
And what's the goal of a bowl game? Yeah. To help recruiting.
Right.
Obviously, you want to win it.
Yeah.
But long-term, when you're not in – playing for a championship, you're not in the college football
right.
playoff, it's to benefit you long term. And,
yep.
and I think that you're right. If they're able to, oh, the Kentucky matchup would be great.
Yes. But if you're
that
UC,
would be perfect.
If you're recruiting now, look what you can pitch. We just went 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
We have a chance to compete for conference championships every year. Look at our schedule upcoming. We're playing big names.
You want to go play Ohio State?
You want to go play Ohio State? You want to play UCLA and have UCLA come here? I think they got Indiana in the future. They got a couple other big names. Nebraska's being lined up. So you got names. They're doing great scheduling. Every piece of recruiting is there to really start landing. And they have. Tavion Thomas was an Oklahoma and Ohio State recruit that picked UC. I mean, you're getting guys that have really played and been offered by high-level schools to come play at UC. Josh Wiley, the tight end, offered by Ohio State, chose UC. You're going to start seeing more and more of that here in Clifton.
It's time to play Would You Rather on ESPN 1530.
I'm James Erpine. He is Tony Pike with you till 1 o'clock today on Cincy 360. Tony, let's play Would You Rather. It sounds like Purdue head football coach Jeff Brohm is headed to Louisville.
I would say.
It feels like that is going to happen. I think that's safe to say. So that means Purdue will be looking for a new head coach. If you're Luke Fickell, would you rather coach the Bearcats or next season, or leave, go to Purdue, and jump to the Big Ten?
Bearcats, 100 times out of 100, because of what we just talked about, the youth on this team.
Mm-hmm.
You think Luke Fickell's name is hot this year, wait till next year when they have all these guys coming back.
Yep.
You look at Purdue, it's Big Ten, but it's not top upper echelon Big Ten. It's not a destination job where you're going to retire and finish your career at Purdue. I just think there's so much coming back and there's so much positivity and momentum growing with this UC program that he's going to be here and ride this out.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you have to be patient and wait for the right opportunity.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're on the downswing.
We've seen that. Hugh Jackson was not patient.
Correct. You're right. Not patient. You know who was? I don't know if I describe him as patient. But Brian Kelly found the right gig.
Yes.
That's the gig you want, right?
Yep.
Mark D'Antonio.
Found it.
Michigan State.
Yep.
Even Butch Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee.
I mean,
yep.
All better programs than Purdue. At
Correct.
Least viewed that way, especially
Correct.
Notre Dame and Michigan State. So if you win next year, if you're Luke Fickell, and you probably are going to.
Correct.
If you even stay in the game against Ohio State and their building, maybe you beat UCF. I think that the opportunities next year will be far better.
Yep.
Jeff Brohm has been at Purdue for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 years, and now he's already jumping to
And what did they do this year? 6 wins?
Something like
Granted,
that.
Granted, they beat Ohio State, but they just made a bowl game by beating Indiana in the last week, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, he went and lit the world on fire at Purdue.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough job to take in that conference. I think he has the – Luke Fickell, that is, has the ability to ride this out and play this momentum that is – UC football right now and what they have in the pipeline.
Let's continue to play Would You Rather. Tony, would you rather the Bearcats win their bowl game, whatever bowl it ends up being, or Mick Cronin's team not only getting to the NCAA tournament, but making it to the Sweet 16?
Man.
I made this really tough
Man,
for you.
That,
made this really
I have,
tough.
I have been a UC sports fan my whole life, and I'll tell you, the Nevada game just broke my back last year. That was I don't know many feelings I've had worse than that 22-point comeback loss. That being said,
oh, don't do it.
I'm taking football.
Oh man.
I'm a
shocker.
I'm a football guy.
Oh,
I'm a Bearcat football guy.
Oh my.
If the Bearcats can go and win 11 games this year off of what they've been the last couple of years, it's gonna vault that program back into a perennial top 25 team.
Are you kidding me?
I took it.
Oh my, I'm a football guy.
Bearcat football.
Are you a Bearcat?
I am.
You're wearing all Bearcats gear right now.
I am.
You have your former UC number 15 tattooed on your back. It's like you're wearing your jersey all the time.
I do.
You have that. Come on now. It's obvious. It's obvious here. Sweet 16.
No.
You're saying a win in the Military Bowl is more
important. 11 wins, vaulting your program.
Is that much different than
10-3? Yes.
Is it?
Yes. Ending on a win, absolutely.
What if it's the Gasparilla Bowl?
Listen here. I know more than anyone what it's like to lose bowl games. I'm telling you, that's not a good feeling. I've lost.
Did you win a bowl game?
Well, I was an international bowl champion.
That's right.
I was part of that. I was part of the Birmingham Papa John's Bowl.
You guys lost that game.
No, we won that one.
The Papa John's? Okay.
Yeah. What we lost was the Orange Bowl and Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you.
Those are the two. You,
from
you
experience,
led.
You don't want to lose bowl games. So I'm taking bowl game.
So you think that'll impact Desmond Ridder long term is what you're saying?
Yes.
A loss in a bowl game.
Yes.
Are you still scarred?
Listen,
do you have nightmares?
I am. Listen, Mick Cronin, the team they had last year was the team to do it. They have a very good team this year, but I don't know if that team makes a long run in the tournament.
But that's what I'm saying.
And I'm not – no. What,
if you could pick one.
UC.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
wins.
UC.
11 wins, UC football, just because I don't want any of those players to have to go through that feeling of losing a bowl game.
Yeah, well, just tell Desmond Ridder not to throw it to the other team like you
That's
did.
That's tough to do. Tough to do.
Desmond, run it more. Yeah, there we go. Desmond Ridder. Yeah, it's got to be the Sweet 16. Really?
I'll agree to disagree. That's what we do in Would You Rather, right?
That's fine. We can disagree. It's not even close.
Mm.
A whole nother week of, oh, the Bearcats, they're in the Sweet 16. I watched Loyola make it to the Sweet 16 last
Sister
year. You're telling me this Bearcats team can't
Sister
do it?
Sister Jean got her Final Four ring last night. That just dug it in even more.
Oh, man.
I'm still scarred from it. I'm still scarred.
What scar hurts worse?
Mm.
The scars that Carlos Dunlap left behind in the Sugar Bowl or the scars from a 22-point blown lead against Nevada?
Well, the personal scars always hurt worse.
Yeah, I bet. That's why you're picking the Gasparilla Bowl win or the Military Bowl.
Yep.
I can't believe you. I thought you were going to put your football ties aside and say it'd be better for the Bearcats in general. Instead, well, whatever. Let's transition, Tony, to the Bengals. Would you rather the Bengals make an improbable run with Jeff Driskel leading the way to the playoffs or the Bengals lose the next five and get a better draft pick?
Gosh. Give me a better draft pick.
Really?
What we're going to make an improbable run and lose in the first round again? And
yes, that's exactly what would happen.
And then the Cincinnati—it's just another year of
then
being
0-8
down as a Cincinnati sports.
And Marvin's
fan.
Back.
Listen, I've dealt with a lot. I'm 32 years old.
I've
dealt with a 22-point loss when you're up in the second half against Nevada. I dealt with a 4-overtime game where UConn made a full court shot to go on to beat UC in the conference tournament, and I've dealt with Pittsburgh coming back after Jeremy Hill fumbles and beating us in the playoffs.
You didn't even mention Jerry McNamara.
Yeah, I can't take much more of that.
Yeah.
So if it's a situation where we're going to limp in and get a wild card spot to play the Chargers or somebody in the first round. And
what would it be the Chargers, the Steelers,
And have to go through another first round disappointment or be able to look forward to a high draft pick, I'm all about the
mock
drafts.
What about the Texans? You don't want to go to Houston?
No. I'm all about mock drafts at this point.
You don't think Jeff Driskel will fare well at Houston?
Negative. Negative.
I hate to say this, because normally I would say make the playoffs, you never know.
Mm.
I'm so torn. And you know what? I'm going to say it. No, look, this organization needs a new direction, period.
Wow.
And sometimes, hot take there, right? I think everybody in Cincinnati outside of maybe Marvin and Mike Brown think that, including people at PBS. So that being said, if you make the playoffs, Marvin's back. And I don't think long-term that can be good. So I'm not rooting for them to lose. But this improbable playoff run, If that happens, that means Marvin's back. That means same yep. old. That means a linebacker in the first round, an offensive tackle in the second round. Andy Dalton's back. Marvin's back. Hugh's back. Everybody's back. And is that going to be anything more than 9-7 last year or next year if anything goes well?
No.
If you're a Bengals fan, you want more than that, which means potentially some short-term pain. New coach, maybe a new quarterback, yep. maybe a quarterback drafted early that doesn't play much next season behind Andy Dalton. So, no, I'm not rooting for them to lose. But would I rather see this team turn the page from a coach that's been here since I was 11 years old? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
So there's my answer.
And again, this we've seen in the NFL successful rebuilds in 2 or 3 years. The Rams were abysmal a couple years ago, and they're one of the favorites for the Super Bowl.
I asked Andrew Whitworth right before he left. I said, is it tackle or nothing for you? Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, I mean, I'm open to guard, but I think I could play tackle at a very high level. Remember that when that was a narrative? And certainly he was right about that. And he said, I was like, well, what about a contender? Do you want to go to a contending team? And he said, well, absolutely. But there's always a couple teams that come out of nowhere every season.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever he met when he met with Sean McVay and Jared Goff and whatever.
They sold him.
They must have sold him on that. Yep. And he was dead right on
picking them. And look at the vision. Look at them.
Yep.
Look at the – and again, that's an organization that was great last year. What'd they do in the offseason? Ndamukong Suh, Aqib Talib, Brandon Cooks. Went out and got help.
Aggressive. Marcus Peters.
Yep. I mean, you look at – I mean, the Saints, Super Bowl favorites, couple average years the last couple years. All of a sudden, they get offensive line help. They get help in the secondary. They add weapons, get defensive line help. You have to be aggressive. And it's possible in this league. Look at the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts, what, 5 or 6 wins in a row?
Yep, first-year head coach.
Andrew Luck is back, first-year head coach, because they've done the right things the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
When Andrew Luck wasn't there, they said, you know what, we're probably not going to make a run, but let's build so when Andrew Luck is back, we're ready to go. And now everything's come together. Andrew Luck's back, playing an MVP level, new coach, stud offensive line, and you've pieced this together. It's possible in the NFL to do that. You just have to get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, you got to get out of your comfort zone, and the Bengals are comfortable being comfortable. Tony, would you rather the Bengals draft a quarterback early in the draft this April or sign free agent to be Teddy Bridgewater?
Draft pick. Because, and again, that's the understanding that that's a high first-round draft pick. Herbert, Haskins, either one of those guys, I'd jump at him. I don't reach for a third.
What about the Will Grier kid?
I like him. West Virginia.
Yeah.
I would say any of those three, but I'm not reaching for the fourth round quarterback this year. I'm not doing that. I'm making it in a point.
You know, that's the most likely thing, right? It's like fourth through seventh.
Logan Woodside.
Day 3 pick. Yeah.
Logan Woodside.
Logan Woodside's name is getting brought up in quick hits coming up, by the way. How about that?
Great.
I bet when you came in, you didn't realize we'd be talking a little bit, even a mention of Logan Woodside.
No.
I'm with you. I think they should draft a quarterback. Here's the problem. It's a year too late. Or it's 2 years too late.
Well, look at the guys they could have had the last couple of years. Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson.
It takes vision, though.
Yep.
That's the difference.
Yep.
It takes vision. It takes the idea of, all right, we might get criticized early. We might make Andy uncomfortable, but this is what we're going
criticized.
To do.
Criticized. What do you think happened in Kansas City when they had Alex Smith playing at a high level?
And they traded.
And they made a top 10 draft pick?
2 firsts. They gave up their first and the next year's first.
To get Patrick Mahomes? What do you think was going on in Kansas City?
I remember you turning to me like, what is Kansas City doing?
Andy Reid's lost it. This organization's lost it. Now what are they? They had a vision.
Vision.
They had a plan. And it was, what it do? That year where Mahomes was the backup was one of Alex Smith's best years.
Yep.
Because he then knew that he had to perform and get a contract somewhere else.
Yep.
So he had that competition that we've talked about for years with Andy Dalton. There's been no competition here.
Yeah.
Go give me a high draft.
And you know what's crazy about Lamar? And I know we've talked a lot about him, but you're not going to get – like, I think Lamar this year would be a threat to go first overall.
Yeah.
He's that type of talent, but because that class was so good last year and he was this run-first guy,
I mean,
and that's how the NFL
sitting.
Viewed him.
Baker Mayfield, Darnold has played, Rosen's playing.
Yep.
All those guys are playing ahead of him.
Yep.
I mean, it's not a product
Allen?
Of him being bad.
And Allen's
those guys
good.
Are playing well.
Yep.
That's a deep 6-man quarterback draft class.
Let's do one more. Would you rather have Lamar Jackson or Andy Dalton at quarterback for the next 5 years?
Lamar. Action Jackson. Lamar. Hands down. Again, he's gotten beat up by people. I watched him at Louisville in depth for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
He made all the throws.
Mm-hmm.
He was accurate. He didn't want to be a run first guy. He made plays with his feet when he needed to. But he's a quarterback in this league, and I think he's 2-0. People can bash him all they want, He has two wins in the NFL. That's more than a lot of quarterbacks can say.
Andy Dalton has five this year.
Yeah. He's got two wins, and he's only going to get better.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton, it's his eighth year.
That's the thing.
Have we hit the pinnacle?
Yes.
What is the ceiling for Lamar Jackson? We don't know.
That's why you take him at 21.
Right.
Because he could be better than Vic. He could be better than any of those run-first guys that you're talking about.
Would you like to have him now?
Correct. And here's the other thing. I think he could develop as a passer.
Yeah.
And he would have came in here in a place where you have Andy Dalton. Who cares if you set Lamar for a year or two? You have a fifth-year option,
you
a first-round pick.
You have a package for him. Like Baltimore's done.
Yep.
You have a package. You let him learn. You let him work on whatever it is. If it's his under-center drop, then he has a full year to work on under-center drops.
Mm-hmm.
It blows my mind. Again, Baltimore was the aggressor. Baltimore was the more desperate team, and they traded back up and got a quarterback.
Yep.
And it comes back to bite the Bengals. Not only does Lamar Jackson beat you last week, but now Andy Dalton goes down, and you don't have Lamar Jackson as your backup.
And what I really wonder is if they would have taken Lamar at 21, how far would Billy Price have fallen?
Right.
Does he fall to 40? Does he fall to 38 where you're in range where you can give up a fourth-round pick and get up and get your guy anyways? Like, I think that's more likely than Lamar falling.
Right.
You knew he was getting picked somewhere in the first round. Someone was going to come up and get him, and they certainly did. He's Tony Pike. I'm James Rapine. This is Cincy 360. We'll talk college hoops, plus Logan Woodside was drafted. We'll talk about that as well. Quick hits are next on ESPN 1530.
Cincy 360 continues on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
This is the Skyline Chili Cincy 360 show. I'm James Rapine. He is Tony Pike. I'm in for Mo today at 3:05. We'll hear from Marvin Lewis, plus Anthony DeSclafani. And Michael Lorenzen will join me in studio
Marvin's
at 4:35.
Press conference.
Yeah, so I got in studio, Bearcat legend.
Yeah.
Then later, two Cincinnati Reds players.
Huh. It's not a bad day at the office.
Guess who I'm more excited to talk to?
Definitely DeSclafani.
It's time for Cincy 360 Quick Hits on ESPN 1530.
Don't tell Anthony, but I actually want to ask Michael Lorenzen. Did you see what he did yesterday with a glass of water?
Yes.
How the hell did he? I don't even know.
That should be one of those don't try this at home.
Yes. I'm not going to try that.
Get hurt.
Yeah, the glass is going to break and you're going to step on it. I don't know how he did it, but Quick Hits is a service of Rumpke Restoration. Do you have water damage or need your carpets clean? Maybe a flooded basement has left a mess. Go to RumpkeRestores.com. And Bovada has placed odds on Hugh Jackson becoming the next Bengals head coach. Did you see this, Tony? Yes. They're the favorite. Basically, Hugh Jackson being the coach opening day 2019, it's plus 170, and it's minus 270 on him not being the coach. How about that?
This just blows my mind that this is a possibility.
Minus 250, excuse me.
This blows my the possibility of a coach that has 11 head coaching wins is going to take over a coach that spent, 16 years here?
Yep.
Please don't.
I don't know if it'll happen.
Please don't.
But Vegas seems to think. I mean, if you put odds on something,
and I love Hugh Jackson. I thought Hugh Jackson was great here as a coordinator.
I think he's a very good coach.
Yeah,
not sure if he can be a head coach.
Yeah. And it's not the change you need here.
There are some people that are really good workers.
Yep.
Can't manage on the other side of the building.
Yep,
I think that might be Hugh Jackson.
You have to have a new voice.
Yep. Speaking of voices, do you think Mick Cronin has a voice after yesterday? I mean, they rolled.
Yes.
He probably didn't have to use it much. 105-49 win. The Bearcats handled business against Arkansas Pine Bluff last night.
I saw a picture of Mick Cronin smiling on the bench last night.
Wow.
I don't know that I've ever seen that in watching UC Bearcat basketball. I think that Ohio State loss woke this team up. And I know the competition hasn't been there, but it's about to be
because
you're going to UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
You got UCLA coming up. You got the cross-down shootout coming up. But I'm liking this team more and more every day. I think Logan Johnson's going to be a great player.
I agree.
Freshman. The guy Mamadou last night played great minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Made an outside shot, looked really smooth. He moves well in transition. But again, this team will come down to Kane Broome, Jaron Cumberland.
Push the ball.
Pushing the ball and being able to score. I think unlike years past, you don't have a post presence to throw it into.
Mm-hmm.
They need you.
You could throw it into Gary, and you could throw it into Kyle Washington, and you could get buckets.
Yep.
You have to find ways to get easy scores, and that's pushing the ball in transition.
I agree.
And if it's not there, you pull it out and you set it back up.
Up-tempo.
You have to.
Push the pace.
You have to play, and you have to trust your defense.
Mitt Cronin coaching against UNLV. You know he almost coached there.
I know.
That's interesting.
I know.
You think he's going to want to beat them pretty bad?
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see if they do. Speaking of wins, Louisville. They notched their first major victory of the Chris Mack era yesterday, handling business against Michigan State 82-78 in overtime. How about that for Mack?
Like I watching so much basketball around the area, I knew Chris Mack was a great coach at Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
But what he's been able to do, first recruiting-wise at Louisville, the class that they have coming in
mm-hmm.
is going to be top five in the country. And then you look at what he's doing now, all these problems around the program and the stuff you're dealing with from the previous staff and the penalties and everything, and you're getting your team to buy in and play like they are right now, if you're a Louisville basketball fan, you couldn't be happier with what's going on right now and what the future is going to be with Chris Mack at the helm.
He's big time.
Yep.
He's big time, no doubt about it. And final one, former Bengals quarterback Logan Woodside was drafted by the San Antonio Commanders of the Alliance of the American Football League. Your boy Woodside, you loved him in training camp.
Is he playing quarterback or safety?
Yeah, they lined him up at safety basically every training camp practice.
He was like a scout team safety player at practice. Did he get rid of the mohawk?
What about the gold chain?
He had swag.
You think he had to sell that?
He had swag.
Gold chain, man. Yeah, well, he's taking his swag to San Antonio.
Someone looked up his Wikipedia
playing
page.
Playing for the Commanders.
And it's his Wikipedia page says NFL free agent quarterback.
No longer. Now he's Alliance of the American Football League's quarterback.
Can't wait
for the San Antonio Commanders. You going
to
go watch him?
No. I will listen to Steve Spurrier as the head coach of Orlando now.
Yes.
The Orlando
Apollos.
How
about that?
Orlando Apollos.
Don't call it a comeback.
Exactly.
Tony, I appreciate you coming in and joining me for an hour. It's been
Loved
the best
it.
Hour of my life.
Well, you know.
Enjoy Cincinnati.
Hey, have fun in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be back today at 3:05. You'll hear from Marvin Lewis and more. The Stephen A. Smith Show is next. I'm James Rapine. Thanks for listening today on Cincy 360.